This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line David Geyer, and we're going to be talking about mercury in the vaccines that is poisoning our children. David, are you there? David, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just speak right up.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on the show.
All right. And David works with his father, Dr. Mark Geyer, who's a geneticist who's written over 100 papers. And David is helping with his research on mercury in the vaccine. So why don't you sort of pick the story up from there, David?
Well, to provide some background about what we've been doing, we've been studying that there's a compound in vaccines that contains mercury called thimerosal. It was administered to children multiple times as part of their routine immunization schedule. And what we found is children received, in some cases, more than 100-fold in excess of the federal safety guidelines for exposure to these compounds. And we've done epidemiological studies where we've looked at children that got thimerosal-containing versus thimerosal-free vaccines, and we found a very large link between thimerosal and childhood neurodevelopmental disorders, things like autism, learning disabilities, speech disorders.
All right, fine. Now, you had opportunity to go through certain CDC data files. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? Because they had actually had certain children who'd gotten DPT with thimerosal and without, and they knew that it was toxic, didn't they?
Yes. The CDC, actually several years before we ever looked at the thimerosal question, had looked at thimerosal in their special secret database called the Vaccine Safety Data Link. And when they looked at it, they saw the effect, and they've been trying to cover it up ever since. But we, with the help of Congressman Weldon and Congressman Burton, have been able to go in and actually look at that database. And when we looked at their own database, we found the same effect that we've been seeing in all of our other sources, and it was even larger, it was even stronger. And when we found that, and we reported that to the Institute of Medicine, back on February 9th, 2004, within 1 week of that, we were kicked out of the CDC's own database.
Now, of course, what you are suggesting is that they know that thimerosal is producing autism and other mental derangements in our children and doing absolutely nothing about it. In fact, doing everything they can to cover that up. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement, and it's a statement that Congressional Committee in Congress, headed by Dan Burton, reached the same conclusion. He found that the CDC and the FDA had been covering up this material, that they had been asleep at the switch regarding how toxic thimerosal was, and he charged them with institutional malfeasance.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest this afternoon, Mark Geyer, and we're going to be talking about the background of the thimerosal and the vaccines that are poisoning your children and your grandchildren. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is David Geyer, who works with his father, Dr. Mark Geyer, and they are investigating the effect of thimerosal in the vaccines that are you are told you must give to your children and you must give to your grandchildren. And Mark, we picked up a different audience now, so would you mind repeating what you just said about going into the CDC database and finding out that they knew that thimerosal was harmful and were trying to conceal that? Why don't you tell the story?
Yeah, we went into a special CDC database called the Vaccine Safety Data Link, which is a database where the CDC's own scientists had looked into this thimerosal question, thimerosal being a mercury preservative in childhood vaccines, and they had found a very significant link between thimerosal and childhood vaccines and neurodevelopmental disorders, things like autism, attention deficit disorder, speech disorders. But they hadn't told anybody, and so we went in and we looked at this same database. When we did that, we found a very large effect of thimerosal on these neurodevelopmental disorders in children.
Now, what you really found was somewhere between 2 and 6 times increase in the incidence of this terrible disease, autism?
Yeah, autism, learning disabilities, speech disorders, a whole host of different disorders.
All right, fine. And so, and this was there was no question. There were basically two groups of children. One had got the vaccines with the thimerosal. The other had gotten without. And there was no other difference to explain or no other reason to explain the difference, was there?
Yeah, we looked at, we tried to look at a number of other things to maybe explain this away. Things like, well, maybe, you know, the children that got the thimerosal simply were sicker, or maybe they had other health conditions. And we found that both groups seem to have be very similar in those regards. It seemed to be that the difference between the two groups was whether they got thimerosal or not.
And of course, the frightening thing is that the doctors at the CDC knew this to be the case, and yet they were covering this up. Were they covering it up to protect themselves? Were they covering it up to protect the drug companies? Eli Lilly, which seems to be very close to the current administration, what was the rationale for covering this up?
Well, I think the CDC people that initially found this were very scared. They actually recommended back in 1999 that childhood vaccines should be thimerosal-free, in their words, as a prudent measure. And the problem that occurred was that they didn't require it instantly to be removed, and it sort of evolved into this position where the only way that they felt that they could survive in the whole immunization program...
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is David Geyer, who works with his father, Dr. Mark Geyer, and they are in the front line of this effort to get the truth out about what's happening, because there's a big cover-up in the government. But then, when did you ever find that the people really are going to be forthcoming when their bureaucratic jobs might be endangered? So you were saying that the CDC had recommended back in 1999 that all vaccines should be thimerosal-free, and yet we know that the influenza vaccine has a full dose of thimerosal in it, and they were demanding that this be given to children and, of course, to the elderly with truly toxic doses of that. Now, and what's really happened to the removal of the thimerosal from the vaccines? The doctors have been told, oh, we took it out. Is that really true?
Well, they recommended it be taken out, but the governmental authorities didn't fully require it. They didn't make it a ban on thimerosal. So it was up to the companies to sort of voluntarily withdraw it. And they have gradually over the years removed it from some vaccines, but not all of them. And so the CDC is sort of left in this quandary where they're charged to promote immunization for children at the same time that they're also charged with monitoring the safety. And it seems like has happened in many other government agencies like NASA, which was also had a responsibility to watch out for the safety of the shuttles and same time to launch them, that the overriding factor is simply to go ahead with the, you know, in this case with giving vaccines, or in the case with the shuttle, to launch it. And so the CDC has had to cover over the safety concerns and not let the public know about that, in order to keep the uptake of the vaccines very high in this country.
Well, we saw that over the winter season when they came out with all this propaganda. Oh, terrible influenza vaccine. People are dying. Terrible influenza epidemic. People are dying of this. Oh, you better get your shot quickly because we're running out of vaccine. And yet, of course, the vaccine wasn't even for the same influenza that was going around, was it?
That's right. The CDC this year actually had meetings before, like they do every year in the summertime, roughly around this time of year, when they decide what strains they think are going to come to the United States, and then they tell the vaccine manufacturers to produce vaccines that supposedly reflect those strains.
But of course, they were completely off this time, weren't they?
Well, this time, they knew that the Fujian strain, which is the one that circulated this past influenza season, was coming, but the vaccine manufacturers told them that they might not be able to produce that vaccine in time. So the CDC allowed them, gave them the go-ahead to go ahead and produce the same vaccine as they produced the previous year. As we know, this Fujian strain came, and the vaccine had no efficacy as per the CDC's own studies, but yet the CDC went out and, you know, so it got the vaccine manufacturers to be able to sell every single dose that they had for a vaccine that offered no protection.
And what they did with a clever propaganda machine of barraging the unsuspecting public with a series of articles about how deadly this flu was. It wasn't any more deadly than any other flu we ever had. How, oh, you better get those shots for your children. Never mentioning, of course, it had toxic doses of thimerosal in it. And the government officials knew this. They just seemed to want to get all the vaccine used up so that none of it would be wasted, and because that would cost the drug companies a lot of money, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually, the previous year, the vaccine manufacturers did not sell all their doses of influenza. They had 10 or 20 million doses left over, and the CDC, at their meeting, promised the drug company that they would sell every single dose this year.
Now, wait a minute. Why is the CDC selling vaccines for the vaccine manufacturers? That seems like a conflict of interest. I thought the CDC was to protect our health.
Well, again, they view it as, you know, influenza is a very necessary part of our public health care program in this country, and if the manufacturers have some reservations about maybe they won't produce, you know, as many doses or they won't produce the vaccine at all, then the CDC will have failed in its mission to increase uptake of vaccines. It's a very serious conflict of interest that the CDC has. And like I said before, every time they simply rule in favor of, when there's a question of should we give the vaccine or is there a safety concern here, we're going to just make people take more and more vaccines.
Well, now the other thing is, isn't there a medicine that you can take that will actually prevent or cure both influenza A and influenza B, no matter what strain it is?
Yeah, that's correct. There's a drug called Tamiflu.
How do you spell that?
Tamiflu.
Why don't we just advocate that rather than the vaccines, with the mercury in them, that is?
Well, I don't know why exactly, other than, again, the National Immunization Program of the CDC isn't charged with really preventing, influenza by drugs. It's charged with increasing vaccine rates to prevent preventable infectious diseases.
Well, now, Tamiflu, do you have to take it once, or do you take it when you've got the disease, or you take it to prevent the disease?
It's a drug manufactured by Roche, and it functions in two different ways. One is that if you have influenza, you can take it to shorten the course of influenza, and it shortens influenza by several days. The other way you can take it is you take it one pill a day, and you can take it prophylactically. In other words, you take it to prevent coming down with the flu. And there have been extensive studies for using Tamiflu both ways that are, were FDA-approved kind of studies, double-blind, placebo-controlled, and they showed that Tamiflu offered protection up in the upwards of 90% against both influenza A viruses and influenza B viruses. This is so high that even in the very, very best years, when the influenza vaccine matches the circulating strains, it only offers about 70% protection.
Right. Now, of course, my concern was that they knew that this contained toxic doses of mercury, and that's what thimerosal is, and yet they encouraged every parent to give it to their child. How much thimerosal was there in relationship to, you know, the toxic dose?
Well, influenza vaccine contains 25 micrograms of mercury per dose. According to EPA limits, you're allowed 0.1 micrograms of mercury per kilogram body weight per day. So you take an average adult that weighs about 160 pounds, so that's about 80 kilograms. They were allowed 8 micrograms. From a single influenza shot, they received 25 micrograms.
But what about the children? I mean, the children don't weigh any near as much.
Well, yeah, when you get it, when you start looking at children, you find, you know, children weigh, you know, maybe about 10 pounds, an average child. So that's about 5 kilograms. They were allowed 0.5, and they got 25. Now you're, you know, tens of fold over the allowable limit. And and you have to also take this in the context of, you know, we live in a world where there's mercury from factories in the atmosphere, and we eat methylmercury in some fish, so there is a background level on top of which this vaccine is being added.
But, of course, it's pretty hard to get it out of the fish, but, you know, it doesn't have to be in the vaccines, and they know it doesn't have to be in the vaccines. We talked a little bit about one reason that they didn't want to take it out of the American vaccines was because if we took it out of our vaccines and they wanted to leave it in the vaccines that went to Africa, they thought that maybe the Africans would say, well, you're taking it out of your vaccines, but you're leaving it in our vaccines because you want to harm us. What was that basic mentality that somehow justified leaving it in our vaccines so everybody would be harmed?
Yeah, the mentality that's been going on is when the CDC back in 99 made this recommendation that we should use thimerosal-free vaccines, the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, got very upset because of what you said, that third world countries were not going to take vaccines that were different from the ones administered in this country. And so our CDC, meeting with WHO officials, agreed that we would only very limitedly take out thimerosal from our vaccines in this country. And they actually made statements about how they were going to develop a very strong advocacy campaign to keep thimerosal in our vaccines. And the WHO, the reason that they give for wanting thimerosal in vaccines is that they say in third world countries they have very few needles, so they have poor sterility, and they view it that thimerosal might in some way help kill any of the contamination on the needle.
And I think that this is the important thing, that in the third world countries, we don't provide, you know, clean needles for vaccinations. We provide condoms and sex education and education on safe sex. And we know, for instance, in China, there are 200 million people contracted hepatitis B from using dirty needles. Over 200 million people throughout the world as of a couple of years ago had hepatitis C from vaccination with dirty needles. We know that there's a tremendous, actually a number of children in Africa who have HIV and their mothers don't have it. These are young children, not sexually active. Dr. Gesequist believes this is all related to the use of dirty needles. Why do we insist on clean needles? Why are we spending $15 billion, but we just can't invest in clean needles?
Well, I agree with you fully. I think that we should, you know, if you're not going to do something right, then do what it is that you can do. If we can only afford needles for so many people in the third world, then those are the ones we should supply it to, and those are the ones that should get the vaccines. Shouldn't go around hurting people just because we don't have the financial resources to provide them with good medicine.
Well, they'd be better off with no vaccines than with a vaccination with contaminated needles. Wouldn't that be a logical thing for one of these brilliant people at the World Health Organization to come up with? When I went to medical school, the one thing we said was, first, do no harm. It seems that has been forgotten. Oh, we've got to vaccinate everybody, even if we're using dirty needles.
I agree.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of moments with David Geyer, and we'll welcome your calls. The incidence of autism has gone from 1 in 10,000 up to about 1 in 160. Is that about right, David?
Yeah.
A dramatic increase in asthma associated. Many people think it's related to the vaccines. Up to 1 in every 4 or 5 children, or 5 or 6 children now is asthmatic. Used to be 2%. Something seriously wrong, but they've got to get those vaccines out.
if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is David Geyer. We're talking about what's going on today as far as the use of mercury, of thimerosal, and the vaccines, and pointing out that there it is known that this is toxic because it attacks the brains of our children. As I was saying before we went to the break, one in every 160 children is now autistic. It used to be one in 10,000. But it's not simply the autism. What other problems are they seeing now with children we've never seen before, David?
Well, we see that one in six children now has a neurodevelopmental disorder. We see that one in four children now has asthma. We see an alarming rate of just a whole host of chronic diseases in children.
and we see a marked increase in diabetes. Is there any way to check and see if there's a direct relationship between the use of thimerosal and these other problems, or they're not going to let you back into their CDC database now?
Well, we would love the opportunity to be able to study these things in the CDC's Vaccine Safety Data Link database, but they have shut us out.
Well, now, why would they shut you out? You would think that they would want to get to the truth.
Well, they shut us out because we reported the truth in public. They don't want the truth to come out about vaccines and some of the problems associated with the use of vaccines.
But actually, this is paid for with our tax money. And, of course, Congress provides that tax money to them. How could they say, you can't get in here? Why doesn't Congress just say, you will let them in? Or is Congress afraid, too?
Well, it's a very precarious kind of position. The U.S. government has actually paid $33 million over the last 3 or 4 years for the assembly of this Vaccine Safety Data Link database. And what we've seen happen is that even though Congress is on the line with us, CDC is willing to say, you know, no, we won't do what Congress wants.
Now, well, now, why doesn't Congress just say, fine, then you find the rest of the money, we're cutting you off completely?
Well,
I mean, that's the only way to really to treat the bureaucrats who think that they are above the law. They are the law unto themselves. They're supposed to be our servants, not our masters. And they're not supposed to be, pimping for the drug companies and the vaccine companies to make sure they sell all their vaccine.
Well, I agree with you. They shouldn't be doing that. There's sort of a double-edged sword. I mean, the problem is that, CDC... I'm not talking about the whole CDC being a bad organization. We're talking about 10, 15, 20 people in one small branch of the CDC at the National Immunization Program that have caused this problem. And to completely cut off the CDC would probably endanger our health much, to a great degree. So there's sort of a balancing act that's going on.
Well, but it doesn't seem... What can be done? What can the average listener do if they hear your story and hear you and your dad, your father certainly is, over 100 peer-reviewed articles appeared in journals all across the country on many subjects, but he's a very legitimate researcher. He certainly has the backing of people. I know Congressman Weldon and Congressman Burton are backing what you're doing. And yet you're not really getting this information out as effectively, at least reaching the public. I've read your articles in the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons, and I know you've published in well-respected articles, but the public is not being told, and certainly the New York Times keeps writing these articles saying to the parents and of this country, you got nothing to worry about.
Well, what I'd say to the parents about what they can do... there's a website at www.nomercury.org, it's a website that's committed to state-by-state campaigning to get thimerosal out of childhood vaccines. They've backed and won support in Missouri. A bill has been introduced to ban thimerosal from childhood vaccines. Passed the House of Representatives in Missouri 152-4. It's now being considered in the Senate in Missouri. And in Iowa, a similar bill was introduced, and it was actually passed both houses of the legislature in that state, and now sits on the governor's desk. So I recommend that parents need to get involved and need to get active in their state legislatures and get them to ban thimerosal. Also, Congressman Weldon has introduced a bipartisan bill in the U.S. Congress to ban thimerosal.
Is he getting much support there in Congress?
Well, co-sponsored by bipartisan, both Democrats and Republicans. And there seems to be some congressmen that show an interest, but if, parents in the states and they got their representatives to be more interested, it would be very helpful.
And I think if you're out there in the listening audience and you really care about your children, we had a lady call the other night when we had Dr. Geyer and David on, and she was just saying her son, after having the series of shots, suddenly had come down with the symptoms of autism, but unfortunately by then it may very well be too late.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention that we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them, but I will tell you a lot of the people who use these products love them, and they can't say enough good things about them. We know they like them because they come back time and time again to order them, and some people tell us it helps their itchy skin, and others say it helps their aches and pains. That's the gel. Other people use this on rashes, and I use it on acne, and all we can do is suggest you try these products and see if they'll help you. I wouldn't be without the moisturizing soap and the gel. It certainly helped a rash that I had that really was quite unsightly, and you use the moisturizing soap and the gel and it just gets better. Now, we can't tell you it's going to help you, but all we can do is say give us a call at 1-800-544-8925. That's 1-800-544-8927, and give it a try. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is David Geyer, do you have your master's, David?
Working on my PhD.
You're working on your PhD. Are you going to get a medical degree, too?
I'm at least considering it after I finish grad school.
All right, fine. Well, you've got a lot of years ahead of you, but I think it's so important that we have people out there who are willing to put in the time and the research and get the degrees, and so that their information will be accepted by the scientific community. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question about this subject, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We had David on with his father a couple of nights ago, and a great program, and we covered much of the same information. And as I was just saying, there was a woman who called in. Her child had had a series of shots and was fine. I've forgotten how old the child was, 3, 4, something like that. And within a day or two, they were autistic, because you get this massive amounts of mercury that they know is toxic to the brain. And you hear all of this material. Oh, you read the papers. You know, there's mercury in tuna fish, and there's mercury in swordfish. And, oh, you shouldn't be eating that. You know, tiny amounts of mercury. I mean, there's infinitesimal amounts of it. And yet, they're giving this in massive amounts, toxic doses, to infants in the nursery. And this is unconscionable. And then when, of course, information was put out on this, they said, oh, yes, well, we'll take it out of the vaccines, but we won't ban it. We'll just suggest that they remove it. But we'll use up all the supplies that we have now. why would you want to give them just, you had supplies of it, why would you want to damage the brains of children? And Dr. Geyer and David have said, what is it, 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 children has some evidence of neurodevelopment?
Yeah, 1 in 6 children now has a neurodevelopmental disorder.
Of the brain.
Yeah, of the brain. And it's not, that's actually not our numbers. That comes from CDC, American Academy of Pediatrics, put out a document called an autism alarm the last couple of months.
But what are the, is their response to your exposure of the fact that the CDC's figures shows that they knew there was a problem?
Well, they try to dance around it like most things. They say, well, they initially found the effect, and then they went out and they tried to look at other things, and when they looked at these other things, the effects seemed to go away, their position. But in reality, I mean, you simply can't make the effects that they saw early on go away. It was only through finagling that they were even able to make some doubt on the issue. They actually went to an HMO in Massachusetts. It was in bankruptcy, and their computer records were completely in shambles. They went and looked at that HMO, and they couldn't find the effect, and they said, see, well, we weren't able to replicate our early results at this site. It's a pretty weak claim on their part.
But the thing is, you would think that they would want to be sure it was absolutely safe, not where they say, well, it might not be dangerous. It's an entirely different framework. The Centers for Disease Control is supposed to be protecting the health of our people, not encouraging products that are known to be toxic. And how can anybody say mercury isn't toxic when the EPA is putting out these warnings all the time about the dangers of mercury? And its neurotoxicity is one thing. It might hit your kidneys or your liver, but the brain, destroy the brain, you've destroyed that child.
Yeah, the actual packaging material, we've come across that recently from Eli Lilly, who is the inventor and one-time manufacturer of thimerosal, warns that if you expose children that you may get mild to severe mental retardation in the children. And lo and behold, that's the kind of thing that we're actually seeing.
Well, now, is Eli Mercury continuing to manufacture thimerosal if they dump this off on somebody else?
That's one of the great questions about what's happening. We have if you called up Eli Lilly, and some news reporters have done this, they claim that they haven't made thimerosal since 1974, but we've tracked it, and we found that they were at least making it until 1999, and we know that even today they make royalties from other companies making it around the world. And it seems to be, in further investigation, that it's a great secret exactly where it's being made, and we think we've tracked it down. It's actually a Argentinian company that makes it, and they ship it through a German distributor, and then it comes back into the United States, and it ends up in our vaccine.
No, just try and sell them. That'll really be something if you want to try to get any compensation for the permanent damage to your child. Well, let's get go to Roger, who's calling in from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to thank you, John. Well, two separate questions, please. Did you say on a previous occasion that the response of the CDC was then to dump the adverse reaction database or one of the databases that you were looking at? So in other words, eliminate the paper trail, eliminate the problem, and if that's correct...
No, he didn't say that. He said they went to another database. Isn't that right,
yeah.
David?
Well, yeah, I said that the CDC, when they studied this question, they found the effect very large in one database, and then they went to another database that had significant issues about how accurate it was, and there they didn't find the effect.
All right, fine. Did you have another question?
So the databases are relatively intact, in other words, just not accessible at this point.
Well, we actually accessed them. That's what, when I say we analyzed the CDC's database, we actually looked at their database, and we saw the strong effect just like that they saw.
Yes, understood. And second and last question is, I realize you have to be careful even with single-use vaccines, but... And am I correct in guessing that most or all of the heavy metal preservatives can pretty much be eliminated by insisting by use of the single-use vaccine, and God bless?
Yeah, that's a very poignant point. Single-dose or single-vial vaccines don't require any preservative at all. The the reason that's stated for having the mercury in these vaccines is that the companies sell multi-dose vials. That means that you have a very large vial, and the doctor comes in multiple times with a needle into one vial. And the idea is that the mercury in there will somehow cleanse the needle and make it sterile. And the CDC has actually done experiments to see how well Dimerosal works at sterilizing the vaccine from contaminated needles, and they demonstrated that Dimerosal doesn't work at all as a preservative.
So it doesn't work at all as a preservative, but they're going to leave it in anyway, huh?
Yeah, that's apparently what they chose to do, because in this same paper, they did a calculation of how much it costs for the multi-dose vials and how much it costs for single-dose vials, and they said it was cheaper to keep using the multi-dose vials than to switch to single-dose vials. Because after all, if you're going to use single-dose vials, you have to pay a couple pennies more because you need simply more vials, more plastic, in other words. It's interesting also, in the same paper, they discussed, well, in the multi-dose ones, maybe a solution might be we could go up in the amount of mercury in there, because after all, you know, maybe if you went up tenfold, maybe then the mercury would actually sterilize the vial. And what their comment was that you couldn't go up in the amount of mercury because it would produce harmful effects in the vaccine recipients. And what we've done in this country is we didn't go up in the amount in each individual vial. We started giving more and more shots to the children. So we ended up more than tripling the amount of mercury children got from their vaccine.
As we're giving so many vaccines at the present time now, well, the doctors will tell you, if you go to the doctor, oh, they've taken the mercury out of the vaccines. What is the truth?
The truth is that the vaccine manufacturers have removed thimerosal from some vaccines, but not all vaccines.
And where would you get it now? If you go to the doctor and he wants to give you a tetanus vaccine, a tetanus booster, is that going to have thimerosal in it, or is it possible that it may have thimerosal?
Well, the ones that we're pretty definitely sure that have thimerosal include tetanus vaccine, there's a tetanus diphtheria vaccine, DT vaccine, meningitis vaccine, the influenza vaccine, meningococcal vaccine, among some others. And what you have to be very careful about as a parent or even as an adult getting a vaccine is you can't simply just take the word of you ask your physician and he says, well, it's been out for a number of years. You really need to go and be an active consumer. You need to look at the vials. You need to look at the boxes that they come at. You should review the package insert to make sure everywhere, you know, in all those different places, you see that the product that you're receiving really is a thimerosal-free product.
And, you know, certainly most people really don't want to question the doctor, and I know the doctor sometimes would be a little resentful if you ask it, but remember, it's your child's brain that we're talking about, and you have an obligation. God didn't give that child to the doctor or to the medical profession or the CDC. It gave it to you or your grandchildren. Insist on seeing the package. Insist on seeing the insert that comes with that package, which will tell you all sorts of things. I will tell you that when I went to the doctor and he wanted to give me some medicine recently, I read the insert, and after reading it, I realized that there was no justification at all for taking the medicine. I mean, the slight degree of help that was going to give you certainly would never outweigh the risk of the medicine they were going to give me. So, you know, but you have an obligation to find out if it's there, because probably the doctor doesn't even know. He believes what he's told by the CDC. And the CDC tells him, oh, there's really no danger from thimerosal. Aren't they sort of putting out the information in some ways, well, we're just trying to make people feel better about this? Or are they willing to admit that it really is dangerous and neurotoxic?
Well, I was going to say the CDC is not putting that out, and the American Academy of Pediatrics is even, we've seen copies, they've issued sort of like press releases to their physicians for them to handle this whole issue and diffuse, you know, parents asking them that they want to see the package insert, they want to see the vial. You know, it tells them that you should calm down the person and, you know, build up trust, you know, and get them to take the vaccines whether they have thimerosal or not.
Well, but the tragedy is that people throughout the world are losing confidence in the medical profession. The country of Nigeria refuses to use the polio vaccine, because they're afraid it has contraceptive hormones in it. And actually, they had it tested, and it did. So they don't believe the World Health Organization. They think that they're going to try to actually cut down on their population by producing using a contraceptive vaccine in the polio. And as a result, polio is beginning to come back in Africa. I mean, one of the great miracles of modern times was doing away with polio, limiting it markedly. But because they put other things in the vaccines, on occasion, then suddenly these people throughout the world are no longer trusting the World Health Organization. My fear is that people are going to quit trusting their doctors here in America if they do not come clean and admit the danger of thimerosal.
I absolutely concur with that. I'm very pro-vaccine. These vaccines have, you said, eliminated a large amount of suffering in the world. I mean, polio was once a rampant disease that tens of thousands of people were being paralyzed in this country with on an annual basis. And the introduction of polio vaccine in the 1950s ended that. And smallpox. Smallpox killed approximately 30% of the people that it infected. And we had smallpox vaccine was so successful that I can say I'm one of the people that actually was not vaccinated. Beginning around 1975, 76, the world actually stopped giving smallpox vaccine because the disease had been completely eradicated. So it's not the vaccines that themselves are inherently bad. It's that the people in the government and the physicians associations may not be telling the consumers all they need to know about the risks associated with some parts, component parts of the vaccine.
Well, you know, we have something called informed consent where the doctor is required by law to tell the pros and cons. But they don't do that with vaccines, do they?
Yeah, in modern medicine, you know, many aspects of it now involve informed consent. One of the last vestiges of sort of old-style medicine is the vaccine. In vaccines, you're expected to simply line up and, you know, roll up your sleeve and take shots and not ask any questions.
Well, they tell us that we need herd immunity, and if you don't take the shot, then you're potentially hurting other people.
Yeah, they sometimes use that justification, but I believe that the patients should have the right to make an informed decision as to whether to be vaccinated or not. You need to understand that there are very significant benefits from the vaccine, but some of the vaccines do indeed have significant risks, and you need to put those risks in context of how likely you are to be, you know, to get benefit from the vaccine. As an example, many of the children in this country are receiving hepatitis B vaccine on the day of birth. Well, hepatitis B, if you have a hepatitis B positive mother and you have a child, it could be a very significant problem. Many children in that situation actually die of hepatitis B vaccine. But to simply mandate that all children all across the country, whether their mothers are hepatitis B positive or not, receive hepatitis B on the day of birth is a rather extreme position that doesn't offer very much benefit, but certainly when it had thimerosal, potentially a lot of risk was associated with it.
But even without that, I mean, the incidence of reaction to the hepatitis B vaccine, far more children had severe reactions to the vaccine than children had hepatitis B.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That beyond the hepatitis B positive mothers, the children are only at risk if they go on to, you know, be engaged in high risk sexual activity or IV drug users or homosexuals. Then they might have a need for it. But to simply, again, indiscriminately give it to all children and assume that all children are going to have that kind of exposure seems rather odd, especially in the United States.
Well, I think that my personal opinion, it is totally uncalled for, but here in the United States, it'll cost you, I think, $40 or $50 for the vaccine. Over in communist China, why they have it for a dollar, somebody's got to subsidize the fact that we're using this throughout the rest of the world, so they charge us 20, 30, 50 times as much as they do other countries, and if we weren't giving it, I hate to think that there would be any sort of a financial incentive to give an unnecessary vaccine, potentially dangerous vaccine to our children, but I just don't know how else to explain what's going on, because it sure doesn't make any sense medically.
Yeah, that seems to be the truth.
Well, why don't you just, we've got about a minute here, but why don't you give your closing thoughts to our listeners?
Parents should be very cognizant when they vaccinate their children that they look out and do what I said, you know, look at package inserts, look at vials, look at boxes, make sure they're receiving thimerosal-free vaccines, and make sure when, as you vaccinate your children, that when you, you know, when they receive a vaccine, if they have any kind of problem, like high fever, seizures, or anything, you know, tell your doctor and be a good, vigilant parent.
Absolutely, and the thing is that the child should not have a high-pitched scream, and that usually is a sign of a increased brain swelling, things of that sort. And there are some reports coming out now that even certain vaccines, even without thimerosal, can produce some CNS changes. But we're out of time. David, thank you so very much for being with us. It's really a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you'll really think about what David was saying in the interview we did with his father the other night. Really gives you the information you need to have, and you need to be able to speak up. Do not just simply do what you're told to do, line up, roll up your sleeve. You better find out if there's a toxic substance in what you're taking, because there may not be another chance. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention that there's going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be over in the Santa Clara area on the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, 29th and 30th of May. And Joyce Riley's going to be speaking, Rodney Stitch, Len Horowitz, a number of the people we've had on this program will be speaking over there. There'll be some controversial speakers as well, but it looks like a good lineup. I'm certainly going to be there and having a booth. I enjoyed it last year, and I'm going to enjoy it again this year. So if you're interested in going to the conspiracy conference, it's going to be held Memorial Day weekend over in Santa Clara. Why not call 209-832-0999? That's 209-832-0999. And get information or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com, and get information on the conspiracy conference on Memorial Day weekend in Santa Clara. And then we want to mention that we carry Phenopoly, and it's a wonderful board game. It played like Monopoly. It's fun to play. But in 16 hours, you can teach your child or your grandchildren or maybe even yourself to begin to read and spell and pronounce words and thinks phonetically. And that's the way that our brain is designed to work. And that's why in the schools today, they're not doing what's right to teach our children to read. They're using a look-see method that they know is designed to fail. Now, most of the programs that will teach your child to read phonetically are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. We put out an awful lot of them. We've got an awful lot of happy people out there. We hope you'll want to get Phonopoly and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask about getting a Phonopoly set for yourself, your children, or your grandchildren. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported primarily, and if you'd like to give us a hand, if you'd like to join in our effort to reach people all across America, well, I would love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 844-8927. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and know more about our organization, that's the number to call. Now, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. Of course, we hope you want to subscribe to it, but even if you don't, why, we'll be glad to send you a free copy. Just call us, and certainly the March newsletter last year tells you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings that were held in the White House in January, February of 2001. That was 7 to 8 months before the 9/11 attack. You'll be horrified when you read what Paul O'Neill wrote in his book, The Price of Loyalty. Now, he's been soundly criticized for writing the book, but nobody ever tells you what he actually said. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and get a copy of our newsletter. And then we hope that many of you out... another book we carry, I was just rereading it today, the report from Iron Mountain. It was a government think tank, at least was said to be a government think tank, that was held in the early 1960s on war. And the whole idea that society is involved around war, war is so important to rally the people behind the government to keep the economy going. We just have to budget our how many men are going to be killed and wounded. That's part of the budget to keep society going. It is the most crass and indifferent and infuriating book. You really need to read it because it was all based on things that were happening at that time. And it's written by Carl Lewin, who at the time the book was published said, oh yes, this was a government think tank. Later on, when the things began to come to pass, he said, no, I made it all up. I took all of this information, though, from government reports. The book is well worthwhile reading because this is the way our leaders think about the men we send overseas to fight and bleed and suffer and die. The report from Iron Mountain is hard to get. You can get it from us. You can get the complete report, or you can get Joan Vian's excellent summary of that in Global Straitjacket. They're both available through Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. One of the books that really changed my life was the book called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. It was my first realization of the influence of the occult and the dark spiritual forces on our society. So if you haven't read The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, you should. And then certainly William Still's excellent book, The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies. We carry The Hidden Hand by Ralph Epperson. Both of those books are must reading and should be in your library to understand what's really going on behind the scenes today. We do hope that many of you will go to our website, which is radioliberty.com, and you can pull down our programs there directly or indirectly, 5 hours a day, 5 hours live. The first program, AmericanNewsNet.com, the second hour on GCNLive.com, and this program on the same number, or on Radio Liberty. RadioLiberty.com, the third hour, and my evening program is there. You can listen to our programs 4 hours a day on shortwave as our audience increases, and more people are going to get the information that Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw are paid so much not to reveal to the American people, because their job is not to reveal, but to conceal the truth from the American people. And you better understand you're not going to get the real story from the controlled press. So this is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. Hopefully you will be doing the same thing, telling people about what you've learned, encourage them to go to our website, and of course to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Well, this is the time we have to ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because we're involved in a great spiritual war. We're involved in a spiritual battle, and the American people don't turn back to our Lord. I see very little hope for the survival of our freedom and our free society. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until next Monday, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.